United States law defines human trafficking as the use of force, fraud, or coercion to compel a person into commercial sex acts or labor or services against their will. The one exception involves minors and commercial sex. Even with the absence of force, fraud, or coercion, it's still considered human trafficking. It's week two of our series on human trafficking / sex trafficking, and this week we're going to go into a bit more detail on signs to look for. And next week we will finish up with a monster of a human and a conspiracy. Just to recap, last week we talked about how the FBI first got involved in the movement to stop child sex rings, and we talked about one of the most disgusting human beings to ever breathe air, Jeffrey Epstein. So welcome back. And if you're here for the first time, welcome to Crime and Theory, a podcast dedicated to everything outside the parameters of normal. We are your hosts, Ashley
and Aaron.
Aaron, since we're recording this immediately after the last one, how do you think next week is going to go?
I always like to be hopeful, optimistic.
Well, I hope that these episodes don't squash your optimism.
I know, right?
And just real quick, guys, if this is your first episode, like I said, we have an episode from last week that's part of this three-part series. However, I don't think it's necessary to listen in order. If you want to, of course, you are more than welcome to pause this episode and come right back. Or you can just listen to this and go listen to last week's next. No problem. But I do want to give you guys a warning that we will be discussing sex trafficking, obviously. So if you are easily triggered or if you feel like you cannot handle the information presented today, then please by all means skip. But if you can, stick around. We ask that you do, and we recommend that you do, because this information is important. We are going to tell you things to look out for today, and hopefully this information will help.
Maybe it might save a life, you never know.
And I mean, maybe. Because, I mean, this information can be found online, obviously, but sometimes it just doesn't cross somebody's mind to directly go look for it, you know? Right. So I feel like as long as people are speaking out and speaking numbers and facts and signs, then people have an easier access to knowing these things, and we're a lot less likely to be complicit.
Absolutely.
And also, I'm really sorry if last week's episode made you guys want to drink heavily, and I apologize in advance for this week and next week as well, because I myself am not a drinker, and let me tell you, it made me want to at least hit myself in the head with a hammer. So instead of that, might I suggest a hobby? Like knitting or an adult coloring book.
Or collecting dice.
Aaron, does being a dice goblin make your world better?
It does.
Yeah, it really does.
I found two more websites with more click-clacks.
Oh, good. We'll have to look later. You know, or take Aaron's suggestion. Start collecting dice and take up playing D&D if you don't already. It really is a very therapeutic and great coping mechanism.
It really is.
Like, I can't say enough good things about D&D. But that is not what this podcast is for. So are you ready to get started?
Absolutely.
Perfect. In that case, this week we're going to talk about the Super Bowl scandal, why Hollywood needs an internal makeover, and much, much more. Let's get started. This week's sources are thorn.org, which was actually founded by Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, by the way. So if you guys know about Ashton Kutcher and his dedication to stopping sex trafficking and how much it disturbs him, first of all, that tells me that Ashton Kutcher is a good human. Secondly, that's the website to go to if you want to find out more about his organization. Other sources are PolarisProject.org, abcnews.go.com, citizentruth.org, Reuters, I think it is, reuters.com, wired.co.uk, and Variety.com, SharedHope.org, and AG.NV.gov. Guys, if you need immediate assistance, if you know someone who is being trafficked, or if you yourself are being trafficked and somehow have access to podcasts, at least, then do not hesitate to call 911. And if you have access to the internet, please try to find a number you can call. We will try to include some of those phone numbers in our description boxes when we upload the podcast, so you'll have slightly easier access to that. But let's start with Thorn.org and kick off with some statistics. According to Thorn, in the United States, children who are homeless, members of the LGBTQIA community, people of color, and even youth who are in some way interacting with the child welfare system are more vulnerable to falling victim to sex trafficking. Now, clearly that isn't always the case. Looking back at the Epstein case itself, he gave girls a very strict list of criteria that they needed to find in people when they recruited for him. And he specifically excluded girls of color from what he wanted in his victims. But these youths are at higher risk overall. And of course, these vulnerabilities are not mutually exclusive.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I was just thinking, wow, I actually never would have thought of children being in foster care to be susceptible. Yeah, thank
right.
you.
Right, yeah. I mean, but it makes I think sense. That's part of how people are able to get away with it. You don't think of these things. You think people who sign up to be foster parents want to take care of children. And for a vast majority, I believe, personally, that that's true. There are a lot of good people out there who take children out of bad situations and give them a decent home.
Right.
But a lot of the times, too, because there's so many kids in the system to keep track of, kids really fall through the cracks, and they fall into homes that are sometimes worse than the situation they just came out of.
And that's so sad.
And that's just another scenario where a child has the possibility of being trafficked and not technically fall into the category of a missing person.
Oh, man.
It's terrible.
That is terrible. That's scary.
And again, I'm not saying all foster parents do this, right, but there are some who become foster parents for the sole purpose of exploiting children because they can turn a quick dollar. According to the FBI, 52%, over half, of all juvenile arrests for commercial sex acts are children of color. But this is just my opinion, what I'm about to give, and you don't have to agree, it's just an opinion. But since anyone under the age of 18 is considered a victim of sex trafficking, and of course being arrested gives you a record, what there should be, again in my opinion, is some kind of place for these people to go or be taken to where there are professionally trained individuals that will help these kids get off the streets and help them find a safe place to be and help get them on their feet, that sort of thing.
Like, instead of arresting them and putting them in a cell, maybe, you know, still get them off the street.
Sure, yeah.
But take them to a different kind of facility.
Right, where people are specifically trained to handle children who are being trafficked.
Right.
And I do understand that sometimes the arrests take place in order just to get them off the street, just to keep them safe for a night. But how safe can somebody actually feel sitting in a cell?
I couldn't imagine.
I wouldn't feel safe. Like, my anxiety would be through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't say that 100% of the time they're actually put in a cell, but you know that some of them are, because where else are they going to go if they're arrested?
That's a good point.
So, I don't know. There's a lot that needs to happen to help these kids.
Absolutely.
Where's a kid going to feel safer? In a police precinct or in a housing environment where they have access to a warm shower, a fridge full of food, and somebody who genuinely cares about their well-being.
That's a good point.
In Los Angeles, there's something called STAR Court, S-T-A-R, which is a court for child sex trafficking victims. And 91% of the girls involved in these cases are either Black or Latina. Now, studies report that anywhere, this is a very broad bracket here, but anywhere between 50 and 90% of sex trafficking victims have been involved in the child welfare system. Now, I don't know if that's LA or the United States, but either way.
Wow.
But it's at least half.
So there's at least a 50-50 chance.
If you're in the welfare system.
That you're going to end up.
And as little as a 10% chance that you're going to get away from it. That you're going to avoid ever being involved.
Right. But a 50-50 chance that you're going to land in the clutches of some.
Of a predator.
Man.
And let's just face it, 1% is too many.
Yeah.
0.01% is too many.
Anything is too much.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So the reason this happens, at least according to Thorne, there's basically a perfect storm happening here. Instability in a child's life creates an opportunity for a trafficker or traffickers to reach out and bond with vulnerable kids. So they form this quote-unquote friendship, right? And some of these kids obviously need a friendly face, a warm smile. They need someone who cares about them. And a trafficker presents themselves under the guise of someone who cares. So they're a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right.
They build a relationship with this kid. And then when the kid is comfortable, they use this relationship or this friendship against the child to initiate sexual activity. Basically, they feed them this bullcrap of, well, I was good to you. You owe me.
Ugh.
On the other side of the country, so this must have been LA, on the other side of the country, the East Coast, which is our coast, in New York City, a study estimated that a quarter of homeless LGBTQIA children, which includes teens, just to be clear, and nearly half of the gay or bisexual population of homeless boys are victims of commercial sex exploitation. And nearly 40% of homeless youth belong to the LGBT community.
That's unreal.
And maybe this is going to stir up some controversy with what I'm about to say, but this is our podcast. I'm not saying that kids don't run away, but parents who kick their kids out, and this is coming from someone who is a child of God, all right? But parents who kick their kids out because they, quote-unquote, don't agree, you're telling me that you would prefer your child being sexually abused because that's a high chance of that happening.
Yeah.
I can't. No. Your kid is still your kid.
Even that's terrible enough to think that for parents to kick their own children out.
I just can't fathom. I can't agree with someone who sends their kid out onto the streets with a high chance of them being sexually exploited. I mean, I can't agree with a parent sending their kid out on the streets anyway. Like, I'm just one of those people. If I had a kid, that's my kid.
Absolutely. Like,
I mean,
but unfortunately,
that's life, you know? That's a life that you carried or that you created. And
it's just hard to wrap our minds around parents that look at their children as something less than anything or anyone worthy of love.
And that's not to say that I am not, that's not to say that I'm against tough love. Like, if your kid is a bully or if your kid is doing illegal stuff and you put them in their place.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody is being hurt because of your child, yeah, tough love all the way. And I do not mean beating your kid. That's not going to solve anything, all right? No, I'm not a fan of abuse either.
But outright abandoning them.
Yeah, I just can't agree with that. But then we look at homelessness itself. A study conducted by Covenant House New York, which is a shelter and service provider for youth, which we need more of these across the country, and I feel like they need to be warm, welcoming, and loving, This Covenant House, New York, found that 1/5 of the homeless youth that they surveyed in Canada and the United States, in Canada and the United States had fallen victim to sex trafficking. And that's just the kids they came into contact with.
Jeez.
And back in 2018, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is the same organization that is available to reach out to if anyone sees or finds Aisha Degree, they estimated that about 1/7 of the endangered runaways reported to them were likely victims of sex trafficking. And let's look at international cases here. Parents in hostile countries are not apt to seek legal support in order to protect their children because it's a hostile country, right?
Right.
So this gives predators and traffickers kind of a free game on kids with even less consequences. And if we want to look at numbers, because that's what I'm presenting here, 76% of refugees who were surveyed in the Mediterranean indicated that they had been trafficked and or exploited.
Wow. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. And if you're not feeling sick by these numbers just yet, you will be before the end of this episode. We all know that sex workers can advertise online. It's always been that way as long as the internet has been around. 150,000 new escort ads are posted online every single day. And traffickers use this to their advantage. They hide their own advertisements for children in this pile of data.
What?
And there's no exact percentage on how many that I could find, but it doesn't really matter, does it? It could be one, it could be half of these. The number doesn't actually matter because one kid is
too much.
Too many. Yeah.
A day?
A day. Kids are being traded and sold online with escort ads. It's awful.
Sick.
But Thorn, which is the organization we're still talking about, they do report that 75% of survivors of sex trafficking in the last decade, and I think this was as of 2015, so I guess decade and a half now, and that number may have even gone up, but 75% of those survivors have been bought and sold online. They also did this whole survey on sextortion, which, to those of you who don't know, because I didn't, sextortion is a term used for many different things, but at its core, when someone threatens to expose sexual images or video in order to make a person do something, that's sextortion. It's literally sexual extortion.
Blackmail.
Yeah. And there's a lot of information to get through here, but I have seen the numbers, and it is disgusting how many people abuse human beings like this. And I want to encourage you all to go to the Thorn website yourself and read the numbers. But they did a survey, I think, in 2015 and maybe 2018 or even last year, where they re-asked the same questions to a new demographic. And, I mean, there are people who don't even tell their family or a trusted loved one because they are so embarrassed and they're so afraid of getting in trouble. And it's terrible. I mean, I know I'm not a parent, but our kids should be able to come to us with anything if we were to have them, you know?
Yeah.
And this is
heartbreaking that they don't feel comfortable enough or that they're okay enough to go to their parents or guardians.
Right. And if they don't do that, you know it's not getting reported to authorities.
No.
And the worst part is a lot of the time, too, is when someone promises to stop extorting, they don't always stop. So if a victim gives in and gives the criminal, because that's what they are, what they want, it's quite possible that it's not going to stop for that victim. And it can be an ex or a neighbor or a friend. Somebody you think is a friend. It could be someone that you met online. Literally, this happens to tons of people all the time by all kinds of different people.
And this is like, what is it they do now nowadays? Sexting? Is that the...
Yeah, sexting is when you're in a relationship and you send photos of yourself, whether they're naked or sexual or whatever, to your significant other.
Right.
Which is, that's your business. But if somebody is going to save those in a cloud or something, and if there's a nasty breakup, threaten to share it with the school or with your family or plaster these photos all over the neighborhood, that person's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And if one of you listening happens to be someone who's done this to someone, how dare you? Now, with all of this information that I've given, it's not to confuse the fact that there are still racial stereotypes associated with sex trafficking, thanks to racist douchebags. Apparently, some people actually think that minority races are more apt to be traffickers than white men, to which I say, that is false. And I also have to ask, how can you even think that? Like, do you walk around with blinders on when it comes to what white men are capable of? Again, look at Epstein. And next week, with next week's big case that we're going to do, another white guy. Anyway, I'm telling you.
All people are capable of bad.
Yes.
Regardless of skin color.
Right. And the actions of the few should not and do not, or definitely should not, reflect on a race or group as a whole. It's that simple. Are there bad people? Yes. Are there good people? Yes. Race has nothing to do with it. Some of the signs of sex trafficking are that the person will work where they live or live where they work, or they may be transported to and from work by a guard or guards. Sometimes these victims are kids who live with or who are supported by or are dependent on a family member with a substance abuse problem or a parent or guardian that's abusive in other ways. They sometimes have a controlling or older parent, guardian, or romantic partner or sponsor who won't allow them to meet with or speak with anyone alone. And they will monitor that person's movement and spending. And there will be more signs later in this episode.
So a lot of controlling.
Yes. Now, unless you have direct interaction with these people, these things might actually be hard to spot. So that's why there will be more signs. And I will even highlight on what to look for in a trafficker as well. But let's highlight some cases on human trafficking, shall we?
Yes.
On August 7th, 2019, so a year ago today, it is the 7th, I checked earlier, ABC News reported that more than 100 child sex trafficking victims had been rescued within the United States thanks to a month-long operation organized by the FBI. There were 400 law enforcement agencies involved and 103 minor victims, so victims under the age of 18.
Right.
Had been rescued and or identified as part of an investigation that led to at least 67 arrests.
That's really good.
But that's a lot of traffickers.
Yeah.
And that's not even near how many there are in the world. Most of the victims found and or recovered were in Las Vegas, Atlanta, and Seattle. So big and highly populated cities, basically.
Right.
And, you know, over 100 children saved is a big deal.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, one person saved is a big deal. 100 people?
That's really good.
Right. And I am so glad that they were saved. But, like I said last week, what about the other estimated thousands upon thousands of kids still floating around in child trafficking rings? In our country alone, this sweep consisted of 161 operations across the nation. Oh, that rhymed. Including one in Houston. Undercover officers had rescued three minors after scanning over social media sites and escort sites for what appeared to be juveniles advertising for commercial sex. Quote, end quote. Agents relied on National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to help identify young runaways, missing kids, and juveniles who were possibly subjected to trafficking. NCMEC has been extremely useful in these cases. In the last 17 years, they have helped rescue over 6,600 child victims, and they've helped convict nearly 3,000 traffickers.
That's really good.
That is good, but think about how many are springing up in the place of those being caught. Like, is there any way that we can just invent a machine that can scan a person and determine if they're going to be a monster and just go ahead and lock them away somewhere like Arkham Asylum? I mean, clearly there's no way to do that, but wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Serial killers, sex traffickers, we could just all pop them on an island somewhere and let them fend for themselves. Is that too much? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not wishing that they're dead or anything. I just want them gone.
Yeah. Out of
society.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of you guys love sports. I mean, most of America, at least, has one favorite sport, whether it's football, baseball, hockey. That was me trying to indicate that I like hockey. I don't hate hockey, but I realize that when I hate and like something, I sound exactly the same. But the Super Bowl is what a lot of people live for, especially where we live. Like, you guys know we live in North Carolina, and a lot of people are like, woo, Carolina Panthers. I don't really care for football. Come at me. But the Super Bowl is what a lot of people live for, especially during football season, obviously.
Obviously.
And while the next story hopefully doesn't help, I'm sorry, no. And while the next story hopefully doesn't keep you from living your life, I really hope you travel safely and keep an eye out if you attend the Super Bowl, especially if you have children or if it's in your town. So just keep an eye out. And definitely remain wary of out-of-towners. Not that all out-of-towners are bad, I get it. But on January 31st of last year in Atlanta, law enforcement agencies who were working on the Super Bowl security wound up making 33 arrests associated with sex trafficking just ahead of Super Bowl Sunday.
Holy cow.
Sex traffickers use big sporting events as a way of drumming up business. And the Super Bowl may actually be the biggest sex trafficking event in America.
What?
As people were arriving in Atlanta ahead of the game, DHS, so Department of Homeland Security, and other law enforcement wound up arresting 33 people, as I said, on sex trafficking charges. I mean, we're always warned that big sporting events show a huge surge in crime, like robbery and burglaries, which there's a difference. Somebody has to be present for one. Nobody has to be present for the other. And I think one of them has to do with breaking and entering. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Either way.
Yeah. You know, because there's like a lot of empty houses and cars, and law enforcement is in heavy concentration at the game. They're not out patrolling the streets, you know?
And but, you know, you got people putting online saying that they're going to these events.
Right. They're letting people know that their houses are empty.
Yeah.
And I mean, not victim blaming. Nobody deserves to be robbed. Okay. Again, not victim blaming.
I'm just trying to say.
Be cautious.
Be aware of these things.
But we should really be talking about how predators use sporting events as a hunting ground. For several years now, authorities have had aggressive campaigns to fight sex trafficking in every host city. In 2018 in Minneapolis, police conducted a sting operation and wound up arresting nearly 100 men in the last 11 days before the game. Most of those arrested were charged with felonies. NPR interviewed a criminal investigator named Mark Chatterton, who said that victims are typically at-risk youth, which lines up with the stats.
Right.
He said that they're often runaways or kids who get arrested for survival-type crimes, like shoplifting. Somewhere down that path, this kid will meet someone who is nice, who will buy them things, whether it's things they want or things that they need. And after the kid gets comfortable, much like with predators and kids in the child welfare system, the trafficker will start to pressure the child into paying them back. And sadly, because these kids have had some or a lot of negative experiences with law enforcement and social services, the kids often protect their trafficker.
So it's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, kind of. Where they have more sympathy for the person doing them harm than the person trying to help.
Man. So that right there, they're, I guess, conditioned to not really go for actual help, but go towards.
Right. They have the mentality of, well, this person helped me. They say I owe them, so I must owe them.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be one of those kids and you're listening, you don't owe anyone anything. The youngest kid that Chatterton had witnessed in his career was only 9 years old.
Holy crap.
He discovered, or at least helped in the discovery, of a Guatemalan girl who was being sold off in a town in Minnesota. Her sister had already been sold. And I know a lot of people were up in arms over the whole Wayfair thing. Sorry, I can't talk. But from my research, no proof has actually come from that, but everyone seemed so upset over missing kids. And I am not taking away from the fact that kids are disappearing, but it may not be Wayfair that's doing it. Like, it's happening right under our own noses. And like I said last week, what a lot of people fail to consider is that not all people being trafficked are missing.
Right.
And that I will further prove that in next week's episode. Traffickers are known to be very controlling of their victims, as we discussed. So Chatterton asks that if anyone sees an adult being unusually controlling of their kids' movements, please report it. Victims in these scenarios don't usually know, this is according to Chatterton, they don't usually know where they are, like where they're living, where they're going, what town they live in, anything.
So do the people just drag them all across the states, or?
Or bring them in from out of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And get this, most of those being trafficked don't even know the real name of their trafficker.
So they go by aliases?
Aliases, yes. Nom de plume, if you will.
Kind of makes you wonder if they even know what time of it's day it is. Not
a nom de plume, that's a pen name. I'm sure they can tell what time of day it is, honey. That has nothing to do with where you are.
Yeah.
These victims will typically carry big wads of cash on them, and they might even have multiple hotel keys in their, like, on their person somewhere. They may have multiple cell phones that their trafficker makes them use in order to make appointments with fellow predators. So if you go to these events and stuff, guys, just keep an eye out, please. I know I keep asking, but I feel like I can't ask enough. Investigators bust these operations by running online ads through social media sites or classified ad sites and other places where pedophiles will see them. So like we talked about last week with the FBI, they would have agents go undercover online and pose as consumers of child pornography and children themselves.
Right, right.
Even small town ads can actually have responses of up to 100 men calling in. I'm telling you, it is disgusting. And back to the racist assumptions, stop assuming it's predominantly one race or walk of life or anything, because Chatterton explained that there are people from all across the community, from every race, to every profession, to every walk of life who answers these ads. He says that most people would be shocked by the people who answer these advertisements. This man has arrested teachers, pastors, and policemen alike. And that last profession kind of feels like how a lot of people are able to fly under the radar.
Man, that's really scary.
Are you not disgusted?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that I'm used to hearing, like, teachers.
Yeah, but teachers, like, yeah. I mean, I don't want to have to say I'm used to it either, but we're kind of used to it, and we shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, but, like, members of a church and police officers?
I mean, what's sad is I'm not shocked by either.
But, like, in my head, like, I've got this scenario going, man, what if the you got a shady police officer that's working in the sting and...
They're actually part of it.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of an episode of Small Town Dicks that I listened to. And one of the policemen was a dirty cop. And he actually used his position in order to exploit people and to receive sexual favor in order for them not to be arrested. And Whoa. He even had an underling in the police force that he taught his ways to.
Man.
That's a great podcast, by the way. Go listen to it, guys. So time for some more fun facts with Ashley. No, they're not fun at all. I hate this. Sex trafficking is the most common form of human trafficking. Of course, there's also human trafficking for labor, but sex trafficking leads the way. About 20% of all trafficking victims are children worldwide. However, if you look at some regions specifically around the globe, that number is a solid 100%.
What?
Globally speaking, an estimated 4.8 million human beings are forced into sexual exploitation. Why? Because this quote-unquote industry produces around $99 billion every year in profits. He's got the Rona, guys. I'm kidding. He doesn't. He's fine. Did I literally just shock you into coughing?
I don't know. Either way.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. He's fine. He's fine. You're breathing. You're fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. $99 billion.
Yeah, I think that's what choked me up. Good God.
Like, not million. No. Billion. I am sickened. These guys are living in the lap of luxury. Well, not just all guys, because they have women working with them and for them, too. They're living in the lap of luxury while causing pure misery for the innocent. And let me go back to what I said about women working for them and with them, too. It's not as high of a number, from my understanding. Like, nowhere near as high of a number.
But it's still, they still
It does
exist.
Happen. Yeah. I didn't just want to say straight up, it's only men that ever do this, when, look at Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah.
Most victims, again, not all, are targeted are female. And they are often in the age range of 12 to 16 years old. But studies have found that when a child is under the age of 12 and they are victim to sex trafficking, boys actually have been found to outnumber the girls in some samples.
That's pretty wild, actually. I mean, I don't know why, but...
I don't know why you're surprised by it either.
I mean, I'm, like, surprised by all these numbers. Like, valid. Honestly, I'm surprised that this exists. And it shouldn't.
I don't think you're so much surprised as...
Put off by
taken aback, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's gotten...
Like, you know that it's there. You're not shocked to know that it exists. But when you look at it as a big picture, as a whole...
Yeah. That it's gotten this bad.
I mean, for all we know, it could have always been this bad. It's just with the birth of the internet, it's become more noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what's really bothered me, is it is this bad, but it's not as noticed as you'd think. I mean, something this ginormous of this many human lives being moved around the freaking earth.
Why are people not paying more attention?
Yeah.
Right? If we gave this the same energy as we gave to election years and politics, I think we can nip this in the bud real fast.
Yeah.
On April 9th of 2019, so over a year ago, it was reported that authorities in Kuala Lumpur, Indonesia, Indonesia, arrested 8 suspects in what police called the country's biggest ever human trafficking bust. Now, 8's not a very large number, but wait till you hear the victim stats. Or survivor stats. That's right. Another thing. You can be a victim, but if you come out of it, you're a survivor. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So I will kind of interchange those words, but a person who has come out of it is a survivor. A person who has lived through it is a survivor. I will never dispute that.
No.
Now, the article from Reuters, or however you say it, .com, makes it seem as though the survivors of this trafficking ring were more slave labor than anything, but some of the victims had indeed been sexually abused. So that's why this is included. There were 1,200 victims that had been taken abroad as domestic workers, so like maids and such. And police had said that they uncovered 4 syndicates that were trafficking victims to Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Turkey under a false promise of being given high-paying jobs. This had been going on since 2014, so 5 years before the bust. It wasn't said if the victims were men or women, but the fact is that most Indonesians who go abroad to do domestic work are typically women. The suspects had been arrested in March, actually, and they had been charged under anti-trafficking laws. But the problem is that the laws only carry a jail term of up to 15 years, which means these scumbags are likely to see the light of day again.
And probably go right back to the game.
It's possible. And the sad part is that hundreds of thousands of women from Indonesia travel to Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, and Taiwan every year to take on domestic work, in spite of reports of abuse and slave-like living conditions. Ever since 2015, Indonesia has actually forbidden women from going to 21 Middle Eastern countries after a series of abuse cases coming to light. But there is high demand for maids, and it has encouraged traffickers to find loopholes around the blockades. I'm disgusted. These poor women are wanting, or these poor people, because sometimes they're men too, all they want to do is work a well-paying job. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. They should not be punished for wanting to be paid a decent amount for hard-working jobs.
Yeah.
For doing hard-working jobs. And the thanks they get is to be starved, beaten, raped. What in the world is wrong with people?
Don't make no sense.
In an April article from wired.co.uk from this year, Chris Hughes spoke out on how he has spent the better part of a decade removing child abuse images and videos from the internet. Clearly, this is co.uk, so we know that this is British. When Chris started, pedophiles didn't even try to hide their criminal behavior. He said that they would share their illegal content through news groups, forums, and dedicated websites. Like, they were blatantly being out in the open about it.
Wow.
And these videos and images would not only be shared on websites where anybody could find it, they would blatantly be labeled with clear descriptions of what could be seen.
So they were just asking to get caught.
Yeah. Chris said that it used to be easy for people to track them down. He said, it was possible to go to a search engine, type it in, and get exactly what you wanted, end quote.
Whoa.
Chris now leads a team of 13 analysts at a foundation called the Internet Watch Foundation, or IWF. It's a UK-based charity which is responsible for removing tens of thousands of web pages each year from the internet containing images and video of child sexual abuse content.
That's pretty cool.
It's a really good thing that they're doing. But the problem is that as they've gotten better at finding and catching the bad guys have found more clever ways of hiding their activity. In 2018, IWF actually removed 105,000 website addresses that were found to be hosting abusive content. 47% of those were hosted in the Netherlands. And I don't know if this is a thing. I'm guessing that it could be this, though. But I don't know. I don't think that there are that many pervs and predators in the Netherlands compared to the rest of the world. I'm thinking that maybe they're using some kind of server hosted in the Netherlands to kind of route the website to avoid being caught.
Okay.
Like a proxy? Is that right? I don't know. Is that how that works?
We don't know a lot about.
No, we don't. I'm just guessing. But apparently, according to Chris, he has said that there are a ton of like secret code words that predators will use online in order to communicate to other predators to sell and buy children. Like, just basic human words that when strung in a normal sentence wouldn't typically stand out. And of course, he didn't list those words because then predators could have access and change up their dictionary. But that's horrifying. They're finding loopholes of communication, and it's like an underground syndicate. But instead of like Assassin's Creed Syndicate, where it's, you know, your basic criminal behavior, it's harming innocent children. I'm appalled. I'm genuinely appalled. Is it raining?
I did hear thunder earlier.
Okay, well, maybe it's just storming. I don't know. Sorry if you hear it, guys.
But I think of it as, what is it? Is it Thieves Can't?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like this secret way of communicating.
Right. Except it's Pervs Can't, apparently.
Yeah. Pervs Can't.
So we're going to call it now. But here's the thing. It's not just your basic average. It's not just your basic average everyday Joe Schmo that partakes in these kinds of things. Yeah, we heard earlier that preachers and policemen and teachers and people from all walks of life take part. But there's a whole criminal ring happening right under the Hollywood sign, it seems like. In 2016, on May 23rd, Elijah Wood, if you don't know who that is, I am sorry, because he is wonderful. He played Frodo in Lord of the Rings, and he plays a bunch of other things too, but that role was iconic. He spoke out about the abuse going on in Hollywood. His quote is, and I am reading verbatim, "Clearly something major was going on in Hollywood. It was all organized. There are a lot of vipers in this industry, people who only have their own interest in mind. There's a darkness in the underbelly. What bums me out about these situations is that the victims can't speak as loudly as the people in power. That's the tragedy of attempting to reveal what's happening to innocent people. They can be squashed, but their lives have been irreparably damaged. If you're innocent, you have very little knowledge of the world and you want to succeed. People with parasitic interests will see you as their prey. What upsets me about these situations is that the victims can't speak as loudly as the people in power." End quote. He also said that he himself thankfully was not a victim to these quote-unquote parasites, since his mom did keep him away from the parties where this kind of behavior was being exhibited. But he was still aware of the abuse. And Corey Feldman has spoken up multiple times, starting way back when, about his friend Corey Haim, that he used to co-star with all the time in movies in like the 80s. I love Lost Boys, by the way. He spoke up about Corey Haim being abused in that manner. And stars and news anchors alike mocked Feldman for his outspokenness, as though their mockery was just going to shut him up and make him and the truth disappear. But we can't do that. We can't sweep this under the rug.
No.
I mean, is ignorance bliss? Yeah. For the person who's ignorant. But it's not bliss for everybody else, is it?
Mm-mm. Clearly not for all these victims.
And I'm not even going to get started on Pizzagate. I was going to do an episode on that, but you know what? I'm going to have to take a break between this and doing Pizzagate. We're going to have to do a few more fun episodes. Give me some hauntings, give me a Sasquatch, something. We'll do Pizzagate later. But that may or may not include Tom Hanks, so if we want to talk about Hollywood, it's a mess. This whole thing is a mess. And truth and fiction are blending together, and that's dangerous. Because you're covering the truth with lies, and so people who are actually being harmed and hurt and abused are slipping through the cracks while everyone is focused over here on this fictitious piece. You know, like the Wayfair thing or Pizzagate. Now, I don't know that it's 100% fiction.
Right.
But the things that we know of to be very real and very true aren't having the focus on them anymore. And we're all focused over here on the conspiracies. That's dangerous.
It's like, trying to, they're like setting up, what is it? like, look at this over here while we're doing this over here.
It's like a sleight of hand thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. That's
you play D&D, you yeah. should know sleight of hand.
I know.
But, I mean, yeah, it's distracting from what we know to be absolutely true. Now, the conspiracies, I think we need to investigate further, absolutely. I believe there could definitely be some truth in there. But we also need to really focus on the absolutes, and that's the fact that there are a high concentration of children being exploited and or going missing, and we need to fix that. And we need to capture actual predators.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I hope you guys understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying there's no truth to the Wayfair thing or Pizzagate or whatever. Theories are always good to have, and they're always good to investigate. But when you have solid proof and solid evidence on something, I think that needs to be handled. And we need to bring these kids home. And we need to put, and the kids who are home and still being exploited and abused, we need to put away their abusers.
Absolutely.
But lastly, we are going to give you guys a little extra info on how to spot a predator and prey in sex trafficking before we sign off for the week. So, pimps slash traffickers are prone to being jealous, controlling, and violent. They are typically significantly older than female companions. When they promise to do something, it usually seems too good to be true. They will encourage their victims to engage in illegal activities in order to achieve their goals and dreams. They will buy expensive gifts, or they will own expensive things. They are usually very vague about what they do for a living, which, you know, I wonder why. They, huh?
I was going, huh.
Yeah, can't figure that one out. That's a real head scratcher. They're pushy or demanding about sex, which of course screams predator and not the cinema kind, you know, like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
Okay. Although I feel like that kind of predator should be real so they can take out those kinds of predators.
I know, right? And honestly,
I would pay to see that.
The fictional predator is more decent.
Yeah, than child traffickers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Xenomorphs are better than child traffickers.
Yeah.
I would rather have a face hugger in my house. Anyway, traffickers will make their victims feel responsible for their own financial stability. And they are typically very open about financial matters. So they typically put pressure on their victims to be the provider, to go out and do what they say in order to bring the money. Now, this is something we all need right here. So grab your pen and paper. These are signs that someone might be a victim of trafficking. There are a lot of times that physical abuse signs, such as burn marks, bruises, or cuts are visible. They will have a lot of unexplained absences from their class. They typically exhibit sexualized behavior. They may be overly tired in class or work on a regular basis. They may be withdrawn, depressed, or distracted. They might even brag about having a lot of money. They may dress less appropriately than before, like especially for their age. If you have a 12-year-old who was wearing like Converses, jeans, and t-shirts the week before, and they come in wearing completely different clothes that are a little more revealing. Gucci. I mean, yeah, they may be wearing name brands like that as well, but they may be wearing more revealing clothing. They may be exhibiting more sexual behavior, which is odd for a 12-year-old. Like, when right. you think 12 years old, you think, oh, that's, they shouldn't they still be really innocent?
Yeah.
I mean, not always, but
playing some Pokemon.
And they may show up with new expensive clothes, accessories, and shoes. So, like, Gucci, Chanel, whatever.
Yeah.
Tattoos are sometimes used by pimps and traffickers as a way of branding their victims. So, tattoos of a name or a symbol of money or a barcode could indicate that they are being trafficked. I'm not saying that if someone goes out the night of their 18th birthday and comes back into school the next day with like a rose on their ankle or something, that they're being trafficked. That's not what I'm saying at all. But someone who gets a barcode, which some people have gotten barcodes that you scan and it reads something on a barcode scanner somewhere, just for funsies. But
do they really get scanned in? Like,
if you get a can of tomato soup barcode put on your...
No, I'm saying arm?
Oh, traffickers?
Sex trafficking.
No, I don't think they actually get scanned in. It's just a symbol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It might be a sign that, oh, they're a piece of property. They make money for this person. So they're sellable goods.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So sometimes they may have a noticeably older boyfriend or have friends with a different lifestyle than they used to have. So if you have, a kid who likes to skateboard and hangs out with kids their own age, and the next thing you know, 13-year-old Susie's dating 24-year-old Paul, that's a problem. That is, no. That is statutory rape at best, and that's not a good scenario either way. So that's not a best scenario. And worst case scenario, they could be in the midst of being trafficked. They might talk about wild parties or invite other students to attend parties. And I'm not talking about high school parties because mom and dad are out of town. I'm talking about really, what's the word I'm looking for? Explicit. Really explicit parties.
And with them inviting, wouldn't that be a way for...
That's a sign that a trafficker could be using them to recruit. Yes.
Okay.
Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Other signs of human trafficking could also include the victim appearing malnourished. Sometimes they will tend to avoid eye contact or social interaction. They might avoid authority figures and law enforcement. They might lack identifying documents. Because remember, not all sex trafficking victims are from the country they are being trafficked in. And on the flip side of having new and expensive things, they may lack personal possessions at all and appear destitute.
They could go either way.
Mm-hmm. They may work excessively long hours. They may check into hotels or motels with older males and refer to those males as boyfriend or quote-unquote daddy. Again, not in a kink kind of way. Sometimes that is code for their trafficker or pimp.
Right.
They may have poor physical and or dental health. And they may have untreated sexually transmitted infections. You may see that there are security measures being used on the house that this person lives in or works out of that appears to keep people inside an establishment rather than out. Such as barbed wire inside a fence or bars covering the insides of windows. I think that one's a pretty blatant sign. And like I said earlier, these people they may not be allowed to be in public alone or even allowed to speak for themselves.
That makes sense because,
they can ask for help that way.
Yeah.
Sure. But that is it for this week, you guys. We know that this one especially was not along the same guidelines of our other episodes, but we do hope that you guys learned a few things, and maybe even as much as we did. So thank goodness there are people out there working diligently to put away these bad guys, but, we can do our part too. I know that we still have one more episode to record today, and it's much closer to our usual formula, but it's still on the same topic of trafficking. So that will conclude our series next week. And who knows, maybe you guys will learn some things from that too. But we're gonna go grab a snack real quick, get something to drink, sink in for a little bit and maybe decompress before we record the last episode.
And I would like to say just a thank you to all the men and women out there that are working long hours, giving up time to spend with their own families to
save others.
Yeah,
to get absolutely.
These poor people out of these situations.
I mean, even Ashton Kutcher himself. I mean, he's a prominent name in Hollywood, and he has put his acting career on a back burner. Not that he doesn't still act, but he's kind of taken a step back from that a little bit in order to work toward bringing children home to safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's not doing it for the thanks, but I appreciate people like him. And for all of the faceless human beings who work behind the scenes to make these things happen, to make these people go to jail and to bring the innocent back home, they are appreciated. And I wish I knew names and faces attached to those individuals so I could thank them individually. But
because I imagine this is a, you know, a thankless job, because I mean, it goes really under the radar.
Yeah.
But now, you know, since we've been talking about it for these on the second episode, you know, I'd like to, you know, thank them for going. I mean, this is a lot of work.
Yeah. So if any of you happen to work in that field, thank you from Crime in Theory. And I want to remain transparent on this show with you guys and admit that these episodes have not been easy for me to handle researching. And it's not a complaint, because I want to do this. So I can only imagine how much the people involved in actually bringing people to justice, how much they have to go through.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that sometimes the truth can wear you down. So while we all do our part to make this world a little better, don't forget to take care of yourselves too. Because remember that you cannot pour from an empty cup. Aaron, is there anything else you want to throw in?
You know, definitely, you know, look out for those signs that you were saying too.
Yeah. Well, stay safe this week, guys. If you see something, say something. And as always, don't get haunted. We will see you guys with the conclusion next Thursday.